Good morning, Crossroads. Ako po si Jason Maharukon, and I serve as one of the pastors of this church. It's my joy and privilege this morning sa inyo to bring you God's Word. And with that, join me in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you. Thank you for this opportunity. Father, we pray that you would help us to honor your word this morning. May Christ be exalted. May Christ be honored. And may our worship, Lord, be true. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Last week, sa teaching po ni Pastor John, as we started our celebration of Reformation Month, nakita po natin yung pag-recover ng authority ng salita ng Diyos mula sa Pope and clergy and church tradition. From there, bumalik po tayo sa Sola Scriptura. And this morning naman, I will be preaching to you from the heart of the Reformation, the doctrine of Christ alone. The doctrine of Christ alone is Jesus Christ alone can save, and He alone provides the necessary, well, what is necessary for our justification, which is to be declared righteous with God, in the sight of God. May dalawang particular po na Roman Catholic practices that run contrary sa doctrine ng Christ alone. Number one, ito po yung indulgences, which is under sa sacramental system. And pangalawa po yung intercession, or the intercession of Mary and the saints. Yung indulgences, it's an unfamiliar word po sa atin. I don't think na we use it often today. So I'd like to take some time na mag-explain. Ito po yung action ng church that dispenses from the sanctuary or the treasury of grace, which is the grace of Jesus Christ, Mary, and the saints. It is grace this being dispensed by the Roman Catholic Church to anyone for the purpose of giving them merit for their purification from their sins. It is para so that they would gain access into God's kingdom. Para po ito sa adherents ng Roman Catholic faith, and it is under the sacraments, and it comes from the Roman Catholic Church. Ito po yung indulgences was what prompted Luther to nail yung kanyang 95 theses sa door ng Wittenberg Cathedral. And in one particular na incident na nag-prompt sa kanya is when John Tetzel, who is a Dominican friar na nagta-travel from city to city for the purpose of raising funds para sa St. Peter's Basilica, he was selling certificates of indulgences. Yung mga certificates na ito was reported to guarantee kung sino yung gustong bumili ng grace needed to allow the passage of a soul from purgatory into heaven. Of course, this practice basically enables one to purchase entrance into God's kingdom. Of course, alam natin na this practice is contrary to the biblical principle that no one can gain access into God's kingdom. We can see that clearly in Matthew 19. Verse 16 to 30. Ngayon, sa modern times, we often don't hear yung word na indulgences. Pero, isa lang po siya sa mga means ng Roman Catholic Church to dispense grace. Because all of these are under the sacramental system. Yung indulgences, acts of piety, prayers, and the like. And even yung intercession of Mary and the saints. Pero bakit po yung sacramental system is considered unbiblical? Aside from not finding it in Scripture, the Roman Catholic practice of grace through the sacramental system basically undermines the necessity of Christ in our justification. Because rather than to be justified in the sight of God through faith in the person and finished works of Jesus Christ, the soul undergoes a process of purification from sin. In life, through the sacraments dispensed by the Church, and through the intercession of saints, and the dispensation of grace. And even in death, they still have this opportunity to receive yung dispensation because they are in purgatory. This yung work, finished work ni Jesus Christ is relegated to the sidelines. And it only serves to atone sa kasalanan ng isang adherent yung present and past lang. And the rest are basically based sa kanyang works to obtain yung grace that's being dispensed by the Church. It is this idea na meron pwedeng mag-mediate that led the clergy to promote the intercession of Mary and the saints and for the Church to hold an immense amount of power over one's salvation. And looking at the intercession of Mary and the saints, alam natin, once again, that the Bible says that the role of intercessor is reserved only for Jesus Christ. Because He is the only mediator between God and man. 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 5. He Himself declares that He is the way, the truth, and the life. In John 14, verse 6. And we also know that the Holy Spirit intercedes for Christians. Siya yung mediator natin for those who are in Christ. Romans 8, 26 to 27. And we know that as Christians are called to intercede for one another in Jesus Christ. In James chapter 5, verse 16. Kaya, through the practice of the sacramental system, looking back once again sa practice ng Roman Catholic ng faith, the mediator becomes the Church instead of Jesus. There is a belief or an understanding that Mary does not mediate to us for God, but rather, she mediates for us to her Son Jesus. It is by virtue of John chapter 19, verse 26 to 27, when Jesus introduced Mary to John saying, "Behold your mother." It was said that ever since that day, Mary served as a mediatrix to all of Jesus' disciples and by extension, all the Roman Catholics. Hindi po ito totoo. As Jesus did not require a mediator or a mediatrix in anyone. Access to Christ has and will always be by faith. So stay, come back po kayo next week. Pastor James will be teaching on this sa preaching series natin. So in short, the very engine that drives the Roman Catholic Church was based on the perceived insufficiency of Christ. Yung main point po ng sermon ko this morning is Jesus Christ alone is the only acceptable mediator between God and man. He is both necessary and sufficient. Meron po akong 4 points. Number 1, the mediator. Number 2, the representative. Number 3, the necessity of Christ. Necessity of Christ. And number 4, and last, the sufficiency of Jesus Christ. Number 1, the mediator. Ano ba yung mediator? It's someone who stands between two parties, not representing one or another, but representing both, in order that they may be reconciled. And this concept or idea is not new in Scripture, kasi makikita po natin to sa first book ng Bible, sa Genesis, in chapter 3, verse 7 to 10, and in verse 21. When in the garden, after Adam and Eve sinned, God provides an animal to cover their nakedness and shame. The animal's skin came between Adam and Eve's nakedness and God's presence so that Adam and Eve will no longer hide from God their shame. Looking at Genesis 3, and let me read, then the eyes of both were opened after they sinned, and they knew that they were naked, and so they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves loincloths. And they heard the sound of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day, and the man and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God among the trees of the garden. But the Lord God called to the man and said, where are you? And he said, I heard the sound of you in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked and I hid myself. Notice here in this passage two things. They were already wearing loincloths made of fig leaves, their own making. And yet when God called out to them, they hid. Nagtago pa rin sila. And they answered that they were afraid. Why? Because they were still naked. Yung fig leaves that they made was not sufficient to answer to cover the shame of their sin. And the second thing that we notice is that God provided a covering for their shame. Their shame being a byproduct or a result of their sin. We see God made garments of skins, presumably animal skins, and clothed them. Ngayon, hindi natin alam kung anong klaseng garment ito. We don't know na kung mas covered ba sila, na hindi lang siya loincloth, kaya nawala yung hiya nila or mas makapal ba, hindi natin alam. But what we do know is that there was a need to cover their shame because of their sin. And God provided. He provided skins from the animal, and in order to provide, this animal was presumably killed. And we also see this mediation sa descendants ni Adam. We see Abraham mediating for Sodom and Gomorrah sa Genesis 18 verses 22 to 23. And we also see Moses mediating for Israel in Exodus chapter 32 verses 11 to 14. So ngayon I won't read both passages for the interest of time. Pero pag may time kayo, it would be helpful kung basahin niyo po yung dalawang passages na ito. But what I would say is that we would notice in both accounts that Abraham and Moses interceded or acted as a mediator, but they did not ask God to relent sa kanyang judgment out of their own merit. They counted on God to relent based on His character, on His own merit. Yet these early images of a mediator all points us to the truth that our sin, that in our sin, someone needs to stand between us and God, a holy God. And it is God who qualifies who stands to mediate. That's why it would be folly to come to the presence of God on your own merit, knowing full well that in your sin, you will not qualify. And the works-based holiness that you have achieved are mere fig leaves, insufficient against the holiness of God. That is why, looking back at the sacrificial system, the sacrificial system of the nation Israel, we see high priest mediating for the sins of the people. Pero we also see them providing sacrifices for their own selves. Again and again, makikita natin ang sacrifice after sacrifice, it is always another, diba? An other who stands in our place and covers our sins. Though the whole system was never meant to exonerate or mapawalang sala ang nation na to or mga tao, but rather it was served to point to the one who will one day fulfill yung requirements ng law. This representative will not abolish the law, but fulfill it. And he will stand in our place as a perfect sacrifice to justify God's people. But why Christ alone? In order for us to understand this further, let's look at the idea of a representative. Let's consider the first representative in the book of Genesis, si Adam. In Genesis, the first book of the Bible, makikita natin, in particular sa Genesis 1, that when God created Adam, he was given a covenant. Although wala tayong makikita ang covenant mentioned sa book of Genesis, makikita natin that the covenant elements are there. And theologians agree that makita natin yung covenant partner or covenant adherer beneficiaries. We see this in God and in Adam and Eve. Makikita natin yung covenant stipulations na there is a condition, diba, for them to eat of the fruit of any tree except yung tree of knowledge of good and evil. And then we see nakita natin dito sa Genesis that there are promises of blessings or rewards and curses. Si Adam, he has this, being the covenant representative, he has this, may tatlo siyang offices, he has this threefold office. Adam was considered a prophet because he speaks on behalf of God to his people, or in this case, sa kanyang asawa. We see this in Genesis 2:16 to 17. And Adam was also called to represent God as a vice regent or co-regent in the rule over creation. He was to be a steward of God. He was called to image God sa creation, to rule over it for God, in Genesis 1:26. And Adam was to represent his people, to draw them in worship as a high priest, as a covenant head. He was to lead them in worship of God. So in one sense, Adam was to act as the first representative. He was the first representative to God for his people, a type of priest, king, prophet. And nakita po natin dito that in exercising his role, Adam was not meant to be autonomous. He was to rule according to God's rule, even sa kanyang pangangalaga and pag-subjugate niya sa creation as a vice regent. He is to remember that the mandate was only given to him by his creator, who is the only sovereign ruler. Si God lang yung sovereign, hindi si Adam. In imaging God to creation and to his people, he was to be fully dependent upon God's provisions for him. Makikita natin ito sa Genesis 1:29. And he was called to be fully obedient sa Diyos, according to the covenant, in Genesis 2:16 and 17. And we see in Genesis 3 that Adam fails in all his offices in the most spectacular way. So Genesis 3:1 to 6, fall. We see this. And let me read. Now the serpent was more crafty than any other beast of the field that the Lord God made. And he said to the woman, "Did God actually say you shall eat of any tree in the garden?" And the woman said to the serpent, "We may eat of the fruit of the trees in the garden, but God said, you shall not eat of the fruit of the tree that is in the midst of the garden. Neither shall you touch it, lest you die." But the serpent said to the woman, "You will not surely die, for God knows that when you eat of it, your eyes will be opened, and you will be like God, knowing good and evil." So when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was a delight to the eyes, and that the tree was to be desired to make one wise, she took of its fruit and ate. She also gave some to her husband who was with her and ate. Pansin natin sa passage, halos wala si Adam sa passage na to. Pero siya yung covenant representative. We only see him sa huli when he takes the fruit from his wife and he eats. So Adam failed in his role as a covenant representative. He failed to speak God's word to his wife. He failed to lead his wife in obedience and instead allow his wife to undermine his role at sa kanyang headship. He failed to subjugate creation when in the reversal of the order, he allows the snake to lead his wife into sin by deception. And he sins by partaking of the fruit from the tree of God, from the tree that God prohibited. Ngayon, baka tanungin natin, Pastor, si Eve naman yung nakinig. Si Eve naman yung unang nagkasala. Pero we must remember that Adam was the representative. The covenant was given to him first. He was to represent humanity as its head. He received direct revelation from God. And he was mandated by God to rule over creation with his wife Eve, both as covenant representatives, meaning where he goes, kung ano mangyari kay Adam, kung ano yung kanyang gagawin, he will do so in behalf of his people. Now we see the full impact of Adam's sin and failure sa Romans 5, yung binasa natin kanina, sa 12 to 14. I won't read the whole passage, but let me just read verses 12, 13, and 14. Therefore, just as sin came into the world through one man, death through sin, and so death spread to all men because all sinned. For sin indeed was in the world before the law was given. But sin is not counted where there is no law. Yet death reigned from Adam to Moses, even over those whose sinning was not like the transgression of Adam, who was a type of one who was to come. Sin came into the world through Adam, sa kanyang failure, and it plunges the whole of creation. And as his descendants, we are imputed sa his sin. We inherit his sin. We are now sinners. Adam's son commits the first murder, even as Adam himself, together with Eve, are banished from God's presence in the garden. And even as sin was not counted, like it in the book of Romans, in the absence of the law, we see that death reigned as evidence that all of us inherited this in nature. Makikita natin to sa Genesis 5 when all the descendants of Adam died. In inheriting the sin nature, we are all doomed to die a physical death. And more importantly, inheriting Adam's sin means that we are spiritually dead, without relationship with our God, with our Creator. And we will suffer eternal death, eternal destruction, because God's wrath remains on us. So we cannot save ourselves. Wala tayong means to be reconciled with God. Because in order to be reconciled, di ba we remember yung mediator tsaka representative, we need to deal with the problem of our sin. We need to be punished for it. Our sin is against a holy God first and foremost. And it equals a punishment that is equivalent sa offended party. God was the one who was offended. It is an act of cosmic rebellion against God's very character. And the only way for us to pay for our sins is for God to punish us forever in hell. So for us to be reconciled with God, He Himself must act for us and on behalf of us. We need a mediator One who could represent us to God and God to us. Sabi ni Wayne Grudem sa systematic theology. Which leads us to our third point. The necessity of Jesus Christ. So I'll ask the question again. Why Christ alone? Let's look at our dilemma once again. We need to be forgiven of our sins. We need to be justified. It means to be declared righteous. We need to be justified for us to be reconciled to God. This is because our covenant representative, Adam, failed to obey God and sin. And yung sin niya was passed on sa lahat ng kanyang offspring. That includes the saints. That includes Mary. That's why in the sovereign plan of God to save, Ephesians 2 verse 4 and Romans 6:23, it shows us that salvation is only of the Lord. Dahil wala tayong kakayahan, sino man na iligtas ang ating mga sarili. But for God to provide salvation, He must first have to deal with satisfying His just wrath. Brethren, God cannot be arbitrary. Hindi siya pwede mag-forgive ng kasalanan na walang paparusahan. Imagine if God were like that. He will forgive us on a whim. That means He cannot be trusted because inconsistent yung kanyang character. And that is why salvation of God sa kanyang sovereign plan from eternity, let me back up. But for God to provide salvation, His wrath against sin, let me back up again. His wrath against sin comes from His justice, talking about His character. His righteousness. His abhorrence for sin comes from His holiness. That's why sin needs to be punished. And that is why, as salvation is God's sovereign plan from eternity past, there has to be one to mediate, act as our representative, similar to Adam in order to obtain salvation. Now, the second person of the Trinity, the Son of God, Jesus Christ, comes forward as this representative, this mediator. The Bible tells us clearly it is Christ alone. 1 Timothy 2:5 and John 14:6. But in order for Jesus to be our mediator, the living Word, the Son of God, the second person of the Trinity, He has to enter creation. He has to be like us. Jesus Christ has to be human. The belief in the humanity of Jesus is at the heart of Christianity. Sabi ni Wayne Grudem. Bakit po ito nasa heart ng Christianity? Because in order for our representative, Jesus had to be like us in every way. He had to identify with us. And just like Adam, He had to be our representative. Kaya ang tawag kay Jesus, the second Adam. And as our representative, Jesus obeyed and succeeded where Adam sinned and failed. Looking at the account of His temptation in the wilderness, sa Luke chapter 4 verses 1 to 13 and Matthew 4 verses 1 to 11, makikita natin yung parallels or similarities sa fall of Adam and Eve in the garden, sa Genesis chapter 2 verse 15 to chapter 3 verses 1 to 7. While Adam gave in to the temptation and ate from the fruit of the tree in the garden, Jesus resisted Satan. He did not give in to the temptation to turn stone into bread when he was hungry or to test God by jumping off the precipice of the temple. He resisted in worshiping Satan in exchange for the kingdoms of the world. Instead, he was entirely dependent upon God. He was led by God's Spirit. He even rebuked Satan with God's word. Remember, Jesus was a man when he was doing this. He was like us. He was empowered by the Spirit. Kaya when we look at our own lives, we seem to resemble Adam more sa ating humanity. Mas katulad tayo ni Adam sa ating pamumuhay. We choose to satisfy our wants rather than walk in obedience. Diba? Practical lang. Diba? Yun yung the way that we think. When confronted with the opportunity to build our own kingdoms, lagi natin itong tinatanggap. Sa trabaho, sa finances natin, sa relationships natin, we even actively seek to obtain our own kingdoms rather than walk in obedience sa Panginoon. And kahit may clear instruction sa atin kung paano tayo mamuhay sa kansalita ng Diyos, we even compromise on the first instance just to make things easier sa ating sarili. We obey only when it is convenient. That's why not only that Jesus resisted Satan sa wilderness. Jesus also lived the perfect life, a life of obedience and dependence in God, the Father. And this active obedience of Jesus Christ, he does so as our representative. That's why yung kanyang obedience was credited to us, to all who believe in him. That's why when it comes to merit, looking back sa practice ng Roman Catholic Church, we do not need any other merit to increase our righteousness or gain entrance into God's kingdom. The perfect life of Jesus is already ours when we are united to Him by faith. And Christ acts as our representative in life. He also acts as our substitute in His death. Looking back at our dilemma once again, how can we be made right against the Holy God? Paano tayo ma-reconcile? Jesus is our substitute. He mediates for us as a high priest. If you remember yung nabanggit ko kanina na Adam's threefold office, Jesus has the same threefold office as well. So He mediates for us as a high priest. Just as Adam was considered priest-king in Genesis, Jesus is a better high priest. He is human like us but without sin, able to sympathize with us as our high priest in every way. Hebrews 4:15. He is a merciful and faithful high priest. Hebrews 2:17. And Jesus mediates through a better sacrifice. Hebrews 10:5-9. In His perfect obedience sa Kanyang buhay, Jesus offers His own body as a sacrifice for us. And unlike other high priests who continue to offer sacrifices endlessly, Jesus offered a sacrifice once and for all. He sits down, Hebrews 10:12, signifying na yung sacrifice niya and only His sacrifice is able to sanctify His people forever. Yun, we may ask, how can the life of this one man and his death be means of a justification for us forever? Diba tao siya? And it is because Jesus is both God and man. He possessed a human nature in order to identify with us, to be our true representative. And He has a divine nature to stand in our place and to satisfy the just wrath of God. But, diba? Only God, yung punishment sa sin natin should be equivalent to the one that is being sinned against. That's why God, Christ, became man And he comes into creation, taking the form of a servant to the point of death. But he is also God. Naalala natin sa introduction when Abraham and Moses mediated based on God's character. Diba? It is because only God can satisfy the justice and righteousness of Himself. This propitiation, diba? This sacrifice, so that one would be disposed, no? to satisfy the yung justice ng isa, so that he would be predisposed sa atin in a favorable way, cannot stand. This propitiation is only of God. Yung demands ng kanyang justice to receive His wrath. This propitiation, which is Christ, is based on who He is. God needed to be satisfied in order for us, for Him to regard us with favor. Looking back at Christ's threefold office, diba, just like Adam, He is also a prophet because He mediates for us, because He is the only one who reveals God's person most fully to us. Yung office ni Adam as a prophet, ushering us to worship, was perfected in Jesus. Hebrews 1:1 tells us that as long ago, in many times and many ways, God spoke to us through prophets. But now, He speaks to us through His Son, Jesus. And this prophet is the radiance of the glory of God, the exact imprint of His nature. He even upholds the universe with His power. And as a high priest, He makes purifications for sins, sat down at the right hand of Majesty on high, far more superior than the angels. No human, no matter how pious, can bear the wrath of God. God's perfection in His judgment demands perfection to bear punishment for sin. Only God can satisfy God's just wrath. You remember yung provision ni God sa start ng sermon po natin sa kay Adam and Eve, sa kanilang nakedness? Well, we see this again kadalasan sa Old Testament when Moses strikes the rock in judgment sa Horeb, sa Exodus 17:5-7. Moses strikes the rock, but God stands in front of him. We see this provision in God providing the ram to take place of Adam, of Abraham's son Isaac in Genesis 22. Time and again in the Bible, God provides the necessary conditions so that His people can draw near to Him. The provisions of the Lord are always sufficient. And all these Old Testament references only point us to the ultimate sacrifice, the atoning death of Jesus, put forward as a propitiation for the sin that is not only effective for His people but fully sufficient. Which brings us to our last point. Let me read Hebrews 10, 1-18. For since the law was but a shadow of good things to come instead of true form of these realities, it can never by the same sacrifices be continually offered every year. Makikita natin dito that it was never meant to bring us closer sa Panginoon. Yung law, that is. Yung sacrifice. The sacrificial system also includes yung law-keeping, which is nakikarry over natin sa modern day, even as walang sacrificial system ngayon. And you see this, that this passage differentiates for us that the sacrificial system is very different from the sacrifice of Jesus. The whole sacrificial system was never meant to justify anyone. It was a shadow of an image of what is to come. Kaya, looking at the law, although adherence to the law makes us aware of God's standard and helps us promote order sa mundo, the whole purpose of law-keeping was never to grant anyone merit when they obey. Kaya yung mga saints, even in their pursuit of holiness and righteousness in life, never gained anything from their works. Because our works was never meant to bring us closer to God. Thus, the whole system of this storage of grace to be dispensed by the church is wholly unbiblical. It's wrong. Going back to Hebrews 10, makita natin that the only act of law-keeping or yung total obedience to God that was counted was the obedience of Christ. Yes, we're saved by works, but we are saved by Christ's works. All the rest of our works are filthy rags, Isaiah 64:6. And His works, only His works, are sufficient because only His work is perfect. They carry with them the perfection of God's obedience, of Christ's obedience, the perfection of His sinlessness. And that is why they can be imputed to us, to all who come to Him in repentance and faith. Christ is our representative. Ba naalala niyo yung kay Adam? His sin was imputed to everyone. Just as yung righteousness ni Christ is imputed to anyone who comes to Him in repentance and faith. That's why they can be imputed to us. The only merit that is acceptable. And His high priestly sacrifice of Himself is found to be perfectly acceptable because it is sinless. Yung sacrifice ni Christ is His own body. No other life can make atonement for sin. That's why having sacrificed Himself, Jesus sat down. His was a one thing, one-time thing. It was sufficient. And not only this, Jesus as our high priest advocates for us. He is our high priest forever, seated at the right hand of God, our perfect high priest, perfect mediation by His life and death as proven by the resurrection. Only Jesus Christ resurrected to show that His sacrifice was acceptable. Just as Jesus was the only one that was born sinless, contrary to Roman Catholic belief. Kaya that's why when we think of our sins, when we consider our life, doesn't it bring us comfort for those who are in Christ to know that Jesus is our high priest and advocate? Nalimutan ko yung nagsabi nun eh. Pero, there was this theologian who said that if I knew that Jesus was praying for me in the other room, I would not fear 1,000 enemies. But make no mistake, Jesus is praying for me. That's why when you're struggling with sins, with sin, brethren, take heart. Jesus is advocating for you. He is praying for you. That's why Jesus, as our high priest, He accomplishes for us in the new covenant what He can only accomplish. The forgiveness of our sins. Jeremiah 31, verse 34. No longer will they teach their neighbor. This is the prophet talking about the new covenant. God talking about the new covenant. No longer will they teach their neighbor or say to one another, know the Lord. Because they will all know me. From the least of them to the greatest, declares the Lord. For I will forgive their wickedness. I will remember their sins no more. In the sufficient sacrifice of Jesus, there is forgiveness of sins. Through the single offering of His atoning death that He has perfected for all time, those who are being sanctified. Hebrews 10:14. And looking back at the threefold office of Adam, Jesus accomplishes yung role niya, yung role ni Adam initially, as king, ruling over all creation. Because Jesus right now rules over all creation. Jesus fulfills this perfectly, where Adam failed. He rules now in heaven, and one day He will come back. He will make all things new. He will rule in the perfection of another garden, of a new garden. Hebrews 2, verse 7 to 9. That's why there's no repository of grace to be dispensed by the church, brethren. There's no need for it. Christ alone. Grace flows freely to us through our Savior, Jesus Christ. There's no greater demonstration of this, of grace flowing freely to a sinner, than the thief on the cross. So Luke chapter 23, verse 39 to 43. And let me read. One of the criminals who were hanged railed at him. So Jesus was crucified in between two criminals. So one of them, so he railed, no, na nagsalita siya ng masakit, saying, "Are you not the Christ? Save yourself and us." Diba? But the other criminal, rebuked him, saying, "Do you not fear God, since you are under the same sentence of condemnation? And we indeed justly, for we are receiving the due reward for our deeds. But this man," referring to Christ, "has done nothing," he said. "Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom." And Jesus, turning to him, said, "Truly I say to you, today you will be with me in paradise." The thief was a captive audience. Nasa dulo na siya ng kanyang buhay. Nakapako na siya sa krus. He did not need another mediator. He did not need someone to intercede for him. He cannot do penance. He cannot receive any sacrament. Nor can he offer any prayer to any saint. He was at the very end of his rope. And yet he had the attention of the only one who can grant him justification. "Remember me," was his cry. And Jesus says to him, "Truly I say to you today, not tomorrow, not in 1,000 years in purgatory, by virtue of what I have accomplished in your stead, I'm far of praising, you will be with me in paradise." Lahat po tayo katulad ng mamang yun. Minsan akala lang natin na may magagawa tayo to change our situation. That's why if you are in Christ, brethren, rejoice. God has declared you righteous in His Son, Christ alone. For Jesus has taken your sin and shame and took it upon Himself, the God-man, and received the just penalty for your sins. Lahat ng mga kasalanan mo, lahat, even your secret sins. And because He is our great priest, great high priest forever, He is always making intercession for us, seated at the right hand of the Father. If you are not in Christ, the wrath of our holy God remains upon you. And you cannot do anything on your own. No merit or work can save you. No merit of anyone else apart from Jesus can save you. I mean, their merit cannot save you. That's why run to Christ. Magrepent ka. Confess your sins. Repent. Run to Christ. Trust in Jesus. Trust in His finished work on the cross. Look to Christ. He is sufficient. He is able to save you to the uttermost. When Christ declares you righteous, who will condemn you? It is God Himself who justifies you. And when you have Jesus, even if you don't have anything sa mundong ito, even if you will be in the same place now where you, like, kahit tumanda ka na walang mangyari sa buhay mo, even if you don't gain anything, brethren, you have everything in Christ. You have the pearl of great price. No other treasure on earth will satisfy. In Christ, we have full satisfaction. All longings will cease. That's why in the final analysis, let us look to the one who took the punishment on our behalf, whose own perfect life, that one perfect life, was given to us as a covering by God. He was counted. He was punished in our stead. And that is why the mediation of anyone other than Jesus fails. Because God qualifies Jesus. He is the only mediator. Just 2 points for application and then we'll close. Do you see the necessity of Jesus in your life? Do you see it necessary to be made right with God? Do you see that Jesus is necessary for your salvation? Yung pag-commune sa salita ng Diyos, do you see it necessary? Do you make decisions based on this necessity of Christ sa buhay mo? And the second point, or the second application question, does your life communicate the sufficiency of Christ? Does knowing that you will be with Jesus for eternity affect your life in a profound way that brings glory to God and honor to Christ? Let us consider these two questions, brethren, even as we consider Christ. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, bless your word today. May we always look to Jesus Christ for our salvation. In His name we pray. Amen.